Ed, I guess it's Drive Time Friday. Randy here. I don't hear Mark. I think I'm on the air. Randy Yarbrough here with you. Trying to punch all the buttons and make all the connections. And I thought I heard Mark there. David should be joining us here this 4th of July weekend. Well, yes. The American public have no idea what it says anymore. They won't pick it up and read it. But it's a wonderful day in the kingdom of heaven. The global reset of the World Economic Forum and the plans of the rich men of the earth are all, well, coming to naught. We know who wins in the end. Those that are sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, hey, Randy, thanks. It turns out we were on another line. Skype did a number on us, and we thought we were on air, but we weren't. So what I'm going to have to do is do some editing of the recording. In any case, David and I were talking about something similar and the fact that there was a Supreme Court decision this week which actually managed to move back in the direction of the First Amendment as actually written. In a 6-3 decision, the court decided that a fellow named Coach Kennedy in Washington's Bremerton School District, who was notorious for his prayers and speeches, would be actually allowed to pray. Imagine that. He was eventually fired for doing it, and a long time later, of course, the Supreme Court said that the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment, which allegedly created that separation between church and state, was misguided reasoning. And the majority opinion said, quote, both the free exercise and free speech clauses of the First Amendment protect expressions like Coach Kennedy's, nor does a proper understanding of the Establishment Clause require the government to single out, and I love this phrasing, private religious speech for special disfavor, which is basically what Big Brother's been doing. Don't let anybody kid you. There is an established religion, and it's just antithetical to anything that the Bible happens to say. And as I've said many times, if he says, don't do it, it's an abomination. They say, oh, do it. We'll teach your kids to do it. We'll subsidize it, and we'll punish you if you don't like us making you do it. Whereupon we went over to David Justice, who was reviewing a bit of the history of Thomas Jefferson's famous and widely twisted letter to the Danbury Baptist, where he used the expression separation of church and state basically to point out it was a one-way separation, preventing the state from interfering with things that are supposed to be the bailiwick, the dominion, the jurisdiction of his church. And finally, we got all the Skype issues fixed, so here we go.
Left alone. Now, the word separation of church and state came from Thomas Jefferson to a letter to the Danbury Baptist Church pastor, who was...
Did we lose you, David?
Okay, we'll get David back on the line here. Skype is doing a number on me again today, folks. No surprise there, and it won't let me add Randy, but it will let me subtract people that are actually in the process of talking, which is more than a bit irritating. I've always loved tools that are so poorly designed that
they're what I've sometimes called user antagonistic.
Okay, well, now see if we get everybody on the line.
Hello.
There we go. We have Randy?
I'm on here. Yeah.
You got me.
Okay. Do we have David?
I got cut off in mid-sentence, so.
I know. But it was Skype. There you go. So I think we're all back on. Anyway, you were talking about the Danbury Baptist, David, when you got cut off.
It was a letter that Thomas Jefferson had written to the Danbury Baptist Church pastor there about the church was concerned about the state's encroachment into their religious congregation, and so Thomas Jefferson assured him that there was a wall of separation between church and state. That's where that terminology came from, a letter. Now, the establishment
right.
Tells the government, the establishment clause within the First Amendment, tells the government, hands off, you shall not establish, you shall not create a state church and then compel the rest of us to comply with it, because we just got through throwing that off when we left England. You know, back in the day when founders separated from England, the church and the state were not separate. They were one. And so an offense against the church, like i.e. not believing in their doctrine or wanting to explore the realm of science, was considered heresy or treason, and it was subject to the death penalty. So the importance of the First Amendment It didn't tell the government that it couldn't prevent prayer in school. It didn't tell the government anything about religion. It just said, hands off. This is an area you shall not be involved in. And so for the Supreme Court to finally come back and rule, yeah, you, if a guy wants to pray after a football game on the 50-yard line, he hasn't violated the law. And so it is quite a shocking a turnaround. I didn't actually think that I'd live to see the day when the Supreme Court would land on the side of relative truth, and that they're properly applying the principles of the Constitution relative to prohibiting the government from doing certain things. And in this particular case, creating a right or a prohibition against prayer when there's nothing of the sort in the Constitution. That's what the Supreme Court did this week, Mark.
Exactly. Well, let me read the actual verbiage from the description that pretty well nails it here. This is the majority opinion, which essentially that the separation of church and state reading that has been standard practice of the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment is, quote, misguided. But, they added, both the free exercise and free speech clauses of the First Amendment protect expressions like Mr. Kennedy. Now, Mr. Kennedy was the coach who was praying before football games and the like. Nor does a proper understanding of the amendment's Establishment Clause require the government. Now, this is the part I think is particularly, you know, right on. Nor does a proper understanding of the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment require the government to single out private religious speech for special disfavor. And you're right, that's precisely what they've been doing. They've been saying, okay, it's not just that you don't have a right to free speech. It's that if your free speech offends the satanic church of the almighty state, and let's be clear, that's what they've done. They have established a church which is antithetical to Scripture. Whether people want to admit it or not, that's what we've got. So what they do is they especially disfavor, quote, private religious speech. And I like the addition. In a separate opinion where he added to this, Justice Neil Gorsuch said that the issue of school prayer at school and likewise, that goes beyond just the Constitution, and it represents, quote, the best of our traditions. And he went on to say, hey, you know what? Mutual respect and tolerance are what matter, not censorship and suppression, whether we're talking about religious or non-religious views. So it's funny, and I've made this point for a long time, as now has the court, that what they do is in the name of tolerance, they say we're going to tolerate everything except the God of the Bible and you who believe in him. And if we don't like your speech, we're going to be intolerant of you to the point where we may just decide to kill you. We'll certainly decide to silence you first so that when we do kill you, you won't have much to say about it. And now, of course, as we'll see in some other things that have happened lately, they're going to disarm people, too, to make that easier. Randy, why don't you weigh in, and good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, it's a wonderful day in the kingdom of heaven. The global neighborhood's falling apart. The plans of the rich men of the earth are falling around their heads. People are waking up to the fraud of the COVID-19. It's a wonderful day. Now, we're talking about this Supreme Court decision. Now it's up to anyone that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pastors out there, to stand against any local, state, federal trampling on the rights of the people to worship the God of heaven, to declare the laws of nature and of nature's God, and to stand now. Stand. That's how we're going to go win this. Anyway, back to you.
All right. Well, you know, you touched on a couple of items there. I guess while we're talking about Supreme Court, we ought to at least mention the other so-called landmark ruling that came out just the day after the Kennedy case decided that there is such a thing as private speech that includes prayer. The court dealt, it says, a massive blow to the well, the idea of we don't have to actually pass laws, and it doesn't matter whether these are constitutionally acceptable or not. But they essentially authored an opinion, and Chief Justice John Roberts, of all people, actually penned this one. that said the EPA was not specifically authorized by Congress to do the climate change global warming BS thing and go after carbon emissions when it was set up in 1970. And if they want to do things that are antithetical to science, they didn't put it this way, I will, because there's no science that says your carbon footprint is causing the planet to warm. In fact, when you better be concerned about freezing to death here over the next few years. Anyway, the ruling leaves the Biden regime actually dependent on going to Congress and trying to get them to pass legislation if they want to implement their sweeping anti-energy regulations. And, of course, as people are seeing lately, hey, if you think $8 a gallon gas is a problem, just wait till the Biden regime eliminates it altogether, which is where they've openly said they're headed. Go ahead, David.
Well, you know, the separation of church and state, you know, the fact that the executive power can't write law. This is all really confusing to a lot of people that don't understand the principles of the separation of powers in this country. The Great American Experiment, they understood that that when you combine all of the powers of government into one branch, that is the very definition of tyranny. As a matter of fact, if you read the Federalist Papers, I believe it's number 49 or 47, somewhere in there, it was James Madison who distinguished that when you conflate all of the powers of government into one branch, that is the very definition of tyranny. Because that particular branch gets to write law, interpret law, enforce law, and then we become subject to their interpretations of law. So what this ruling is really saying is the separation of powers found in the Constitution delegates to the legislature to make decisions pertaining to law or making things lawful or legal. And executive power, all they have the power to do is enforce what the legislature has to do. Well, over the course of how many decades, the executive branch has become very adept at writing executive orders and, you know, and the administrative, the fourth branch of government, the administrative branch, which we can thank Franklin Delano Roosevelt for that New Deal back in the 1930s, and that power doesn't have the power to make law. Well, that's what we've been experiencing, is the president's been making law, the bureaucracies have been making law, and the Supreme Court just slapped them back and said, no! The ones who have the right, the power, the authority to make law, that's the legislative branch. That's Congress, okay? The executive power can't come along. The EPA can't come along and write some sweeping regulation unless it has a legislative foundation. And the only purpose of the administrative branch is to implement the law passed by the legislature. So the Supreme Court comes along and says, hey, you don't have a foundation for any of this stuff you're doing because Congress didn't pass a law. Therefore, all these things the EPA's been doing, and, you know, we get into that whole southern border thing, but that's another Supreme Court ruling. The president doesn't have the authority to just willy-nilly, arbitrary, pass an executive order or some executive decree, and it gets treated like law. So that's why this particular ruling is so critical, because it distinguishes and puts into proper perspective and understanding the separation of powers, and that's why this particular ruling is important, Mark.
All right. Well, let me add just one or two things, because you did a good exposition there. It turns out that, and Madison was actually referring to, Fountains knew this, to Isaiah chapter 33. That's where the separation of powers doctrine and the implementation of the Constitution comes from. And basically what he said was exactly what you quoted, but also adding, not only is the combination of those three powers in any other hands except the Almighty's, the very definition of tyranny, but that's why we're not going to allow it. In other words, that is the reason. So the line that they're referring to is from Isaiah 33, verse 22, where it says, for Yahuwah, is our judge. Yahuwah is our lawgiver. Yahuwah is our king, our executive, in other words, and he will save us. They, Yishianu, in other words, there's a reference to salvation, and isn't it funny? They picked that and said that this reference to the Savior, he is the Savior, you guys ain't. And the separation of powers then says, in the hands of mortal men, we're not going to allow that. His hands, yep. But not in mortal men's hands. And so that's where those doctrines have come from. As a matter of fact, of course, as you were headed to, the Supreme Court has kind of turned on its head this doctrine that you'll hear idiots, liars like Biden say, this has been settled law, Roe v. Wade is settled law. Well, no, it's not. All it was an opinion from the court. The Supreme Court does not make law, and it's blithering idiots that claim that it does. And as a matter of fact, all they got to do is read the very, very first words in the Constitution, which says all legislative power here in Granite is vested in the Congress of the United States, not the executive, not the Supreme Court, not some self-appointed idiot who managed to steal an election. Go ahead, Randy.
Well, this brings up back to the Declaration of Independence, a clause in here that is exactly what we're dealing with today. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. Can we say the EPA, the FDA, the DEA, the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, pages and pages of offices and officers going out to harass the people and set them in a destitute poverty.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned it, and we've got more news to talk about, but you're right. The most important news really is we're coming up on the anniversary. I would argue the real anniversary, the one that impresses me, was yesterday. July 2nd was the date when the true miracle happened and when the unanimous consent of all of the representatives of the 13 colonies in Congress assembled was obtained. And that was nothing short of a miracle. If you've ever seen a really wonderful musical, excellent job that the people did of putting this together, it's called 1776. We watch it every year on the 4th of July. And basically what it outlines is the miracle that did happen, and the primary characters are Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson, along with some others. Essentially, it points out that there were so many divisions, and even though they really wanted independence, they recognized that unless, as Franklin put it so appropriately, we all hang together, we will surely hang separately. And unless the declaration was unanimous, it wouldn't work. And so they managed to achieve that. And, of course, as we know, I will contend that the most brilliant words ever written originally in the English language are how that thing starts out. After he says, a decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires that they declare the causes which impel them to the separation. He says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, this is obvious. It's not obvious to those today that are literally blithering idiots, either senile and or worshipers of a satanic church of another god. But we hold these truths to be self-evident. There is a God, the Creator. He has given us certain unalienable rights. They come from him. And the purpose of government, they said, is to secure these rights. For these purposes, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I will encourage folks, and I'll turn it over to Randy, read that document. Get together with your families. If you have a picnic, if you have a barbecue, encourage people to understand the point of the grievances that were laid out, and they literally serve notice to the king and to the world, and this is what's going to be done, and here is why it's necessary, and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, they said, we pledge to ourselves, to each other, our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. You'll notice two other things, and I always point this out when I'm teaching about it. There is one reference to God the Creator right up front, and then there are three more references to him. And in each case, it's king, judge, lawgiver. You'll find poetic language, but basically the three references to Yah, to the Creator, come right out of Isaiah 33, and they were embodied in the separation of powers. Go ahead, Randy.
Randy likes to mute himself.
Okay, well, go ahead, David, and then we'll let Randy come back in.
Okay, there we
All
go.
All right, well, you, go ahead, Randy.
Dust off that dusty declaration, or you go to the internet and print it out and read it. Read it to your children. Have your children read it and go through the clauses and you know, just take it home to today that this was an indictment against the king of tyranny that he held all three offices of the judicial, legislative, and executive, and claimed that right over the colonies, and they said no, we are equal with you Englishmen in Britain, and so no, you pushed us beyond the point now. So, you know, in the clause here, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object advances a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government, provide new guards for their future security. Have we reached that point? You know,
we're
this
past
was
it.
Yeah, this was a notice of withdrawal of consent. No, we will not consent any longer. So, have we reached that point? Are you ready to stand up and withdraw that consent? You know, that's where we're at.
Let's talk just for a second, and I'll go to David, too. But I want to point out that what we saw this last week was not only the two birds, two wings of the bird of prey flapping in unison with the rhinos and the traitors essentially all saying, hey, we want to make sure that when we destroy this economy and we bring this nation to its knees, when we finish completing the destruction of the diesel supply chain and there's no ability to farm, to harvest the crops, to put those crops on a train or a truck and move them to market, and people are starving in the streets, we want to make darn sure that we disarm them first. Because if they actually have read that document, that declaration, we're going to call them crazy. That means that the red flag law allows us to steal their liberty teeth, to take their firearms, so that when we evince a design, and it's pretty obvious, to reduce them under absolute despotism, they have no recourse. So they are doing exactly what the British did in 1775, April the 19th, when they went and took the powder and ball. It's just that what the Biden Fuhrer is doing is to say, oh, we're going to do them one at a time. We're going to do it the way Stalin did. We're going to break into people's apartment buildings, houses, farms, and complexes, and wherever they may be at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're going to say we have a red flag order here. Achtung, you have no recourse. We're stealing your guns. What are you going to do about it, especially once we've got them?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're gonna fund the states to pass their red flag laws. So that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah, this is Soviet style, a move on the American people. And the reason I say that it's Soviet style is because that's exactly what Stalin did. His minions would say, if you're not a party member, if you're not toeing the line, well, since you know what we're gonna do to you, you must be crazy. Therefore, we're going to send you to the gulags. Take your stuff. And, of course, in Biden's America, make sure we take your guns first. The Soviets had already long since disarmed the peons. And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
right, we are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show coming up onto what is unfortunately nowadays mostly called the 4th of July weekend. Independence Day weekend is a better way to put it. And we are in between the days where if we understand the anniversary on the 2nd of July in 1776, the unanimous declaration was agreed to, was passed by all the 13 colonies in Congress assembled, and the signatures literally, although John Hancock was first, and he was out there alone for a while, the signatures were affixed in the famous, as you've seen, portrait probably on July the 4th. So that is the day that is now celebrated, even though I think John Adams would have preferred the 2nd, too. In any case, it's certainly worth remembering the most important anniversary in the history of this nation, and I'll say it again, the most important document ever written originally in the English language. David, let's go to you.
Well, and the reason I think it's important, and this is a distinction that's so critical, when the king ceased to function inside the law, he became a criminal. So the up until that time in history, there was a principle in law called the divine right of kings. And the religious people, priests crown kings. Let's get this straight. Okay, throughout history, priests crown king. So the idea of the divine right of kings is a scriptural principle under Romans 13, 2 Peter 2:13, and several other places where we're instructed scripturally that we're supposed to obey the authority. But this thing got so stretched in the days of the founding fathers, they recognized that when the king himself becomes a lawbreaker, he steps out of the capacity of kings, and now he's free game. He's a criminal. Okay, so but this is well beyond tyranny. When a king takes power and pretends to be a king, and yet he's raping, pillaging, plundering, and murdering the people. So the founding fathers were the first ones to break from this doctrine of the divine right of kings. And they said, you know what? Not only no, but no. We are not doing this anymore. And a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires to declare the causes of our separation. Hence that clause right there. This is the why. I think that what is going on on the planet today is we've got this institutional Christianity telling us that we need to submit and obey to government because that's just the way it is, a divine right of kings type idea. But America's founders broke away from that, and they distinguished that the power is vested ultimately in God, our king, lawgiver, and judge. And inside that, the people who are members of the church, the members of the body of Christ, inside this concept, they are co-heirs and sovereign people inside the body of Christ. And that principle is the principle upon which America is founded. The E Pluribus Unum, which is the motto, you'll see it on every coin, distinguishes that we, the many, are one. The place that comes from is being one with the Father inside the unity of the brotherhood and the sisterhood and the children of God. Okay, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished unto us, so we would be called the children of God. That's the principle of unity that since the ink began to dry on the Declaration of Independence, the damage control crew went to work on dividing us and creating and obfuscating and conflating all these different criminal ideas. They began injecting the ideas. Of course, the same thing they did after Yeshua rose or after they killed him is they immediately went into damage control because that's what the dark side does. All right, so fast forward to today. We're fighting the exact same battle. How do we as a nation unite when we're so divided? What's the unifying variable? The problem with people that love independence is we're like herding cats. But the idea that we need to come together on is, yes, our Father, who is truth, love, light, spirit, truth, everything that is good, righteous, honorable, just, fair, and true, those are the principles that America is founded on, and that's why it was a great experiment, because we broke away from the idea that God vested power in our king, and we all just have to submit and obey no matter how bad it gets. So the Declaration of Independence is the break. Now, this is why that document is so dangerous, and this is why they want to destroy that document, is because they want to vest power back in themselves, and then they'll tell us what our rights are. And they've been conditioning us and preparing us for this mindset because of the education in our public schools that has completely torn up any semblance of an understanding of what the Declaration of Independence is and what the constitutions of the states are. So it begins with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the foundation of American law and jurisprudence. And that is the foundation that they've been very successful in destroying. And our churches have not stepped up to comprehend that idea and perpetuate that. So as part of the root of the problem is our institutional Christendom in this country and even on the planet is still buying into an ancient idea that we're just supposed to submit and obey to authority, no matter even when that authority ceases to be authority. Okay, I just went on a rant. I'm sorry. I'll give you back the microphone, Mark.
Well, that's okay. And again, you know, the Romans 13 BS is wrong. And all you have to do is read Paul in context and realize that that is not a good translation. That's not a good word. It's not a good translation of the word ensousia, which is used there to be the liberty in some places. In other words, read Romans 13, even in the Greek, and you can recognize that it's a crappy translation. But essentially, this is the same guy, remember, who was told, hey, you're not going to preach in the name of that fellow, in the name of Yeshua. And he said, yeah, we are. And you know, your law is bogus, basically. Uh-oh, can he really? The same guy wrote that? And he was busted out of prison, by the way, by the divine power for doing so. So there are so many things. I like to point out, if you go through scripture and just start in the beginning, you'll see all the way back in Exodus, for example, the midwives disobeyed Pharaoh. And they were not only immortalized in scripture and called splendid and similar kinds of things, Yah gave them houses. So that the entire concept of, when Big Brother says jump, and when Adolf says turn in your guns, when the Biden Fuhrer says turn in your guns, when he says kill your kids, and we're going to make you pay for it, and we're going to do all this, you know, the answer is no. And that was the answer that Scripture made very clear. It was the answer that the good men and women who followed Yah did all along. Randy, let's go to you.
Yes, stand up. Don't take your children, your little babies, 6 months to 5 years old, and have them vaccinated. You're killing your children. It's just incredible. And since I brought that up, coming up here July 6th, Dr. David Martin has filed suit in federal court in Utah. And oral arguments are coming up here on July 6th. The case is about fraud against Pfizer, Moderna, Fauci, NIH, CDC, FDA, that they have committed the greatest fraud in the history of humankind, and is committing genocide worldwide. So keep that in your prayers, that the evidence is so strong that the judges will have no choice but to rule fraud against the people of the world.
Well, and you know what? It's not just that the evidence is so strong. It's that they've come out and admitted it. Here's Randy, just to make your case, this is the story that came out this week. An FDA advisory panel member, a woman named Dr. Zhang, came right out and admitted that the so-called clinical trial data for the placebo group, this is how the FDA said, oh, we want to kill kids under the age of 5 all the way down to 6 months, and we don't need any actual evidence. They lost the evidence from the placebo group, all the data, but they went ahead and approved it anyway, unanimously. This is, as everybody that's been looking at it points out, this is criminal malpractice.
It's murder. It's genocide. And that's what they're...
You're right.
You know, it's Dr. David Martin. You can look that up. Just go there. It'll take you to his websites. And you can read the case filings and everything else. But keep them in prayer. Coming up July 6th is the oral arguments in federal court in Utah.
That's good. That's good to know about. Dr. David Martin.
Let me jump
All right.
in real quick. Let me jump in.
Go ahead.
So we know, and here's the other story this week is, you know, during a congressional hearing, you know, Rand Paul was questioning Dr. Brix, who was that woman standing up there with Fauci in the beginning. And he got her to admit that there was no science, that they were doing all this based upon hope. So she's admitted on the congressional record that there was no legitimate science backing up anything that they were doing. So, yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
What to say other than, well, you know, the mind boggles, literally. What we're seeing is such an incredible, in your face, it's literally what Adolf Hitler called the big lie. It's such a big, bold, incredible lie that most people just say, oh no, these doctors, these lab coat wearing, mass murdering criminals, they couldn't possibly be that evil, could they? Well, Mengele was, and, the trouble is, Mengele was a piker compared to Tony Fauci. The kind of things that these people have been getting away with make killing millions look small because they really have their sights set much higher. Randy, you want to add anything else?
Let me just
go for it. Go, David.
Okay. All right. If they're willing to go that far, okay, this is what we need to get our minds around. If they're willing to go that far, what are they protecting that is that big that they need to go that far? In other words, if you know, in a comparison, in juxtaposition, whatever they're attempting to murder the entire world to protect, that whatever that is, that's what they don't want us looking at. Now, I have an opinion as to what that is, and I think that opinion, I think human trafficking is what they're covering up, and the wheels are coming off. They had to steal an election, and they had to drug or introduce some foreign mechanism to maintain control of a narrative that if they lose control of the narrative, they're all going to die. Okay, so this is a matter of life and death for them, and that's how big this thing is. And so they don't mind killing us to protect them. So that's what this battle is coming down to. It's a matter of life and death, Mark.
And that is why, David, they are so hot to trot, so damnably intent on making sure that they disarm everybody before they figure it out. And understand this. The whole idea of this mental health clause, you're a danger to yourself and others, the Soviet-style gun confiscation, is that they'll say, hey, if you're a conspiracy theorist, if you can read facts and connect the dots, if you actually believe that we would try to kill you, well, we're going to do it! Yeah, but we're going to declare you crazy first so we can disarm you and then do it quietly because we'll muzzle you and we won't let anybody talk about what we're doing.
We're crazy because we're not buying into their narrative. We've got the truth on our side. They want us to buy into the lie. If we don't buy into the lie, we're the ones that are crazy. And they've got the power of law right now. They've weaponized the law and they've weaponized the government against the truth. Go ahead.
We have a truly evil Merrick Garland, Attorney General, and he comes from a long line of really satanically evil people. Janet Reno killed a whole church full of people in Waco, Texas. Eric Holder, missed in Fast and Furious, you know, was held in contempt of Congress, but no, he didn't get arrested at the airport, like Dr. Peter Navarro did. So, you know, it boggles the mind how far over the top they have gone with this. But I want to throw out one or two other items. I'm going to go to Randy. FBI this last week raided three churches in Texas and in Georgia. They called them cults. What was their real crime? It seems to be that there are service members from nearby military bases going there. And maybe these servicemen are saying, hey, I don't want to commit suicide. But ultimately, there are all these things going on that essentially just reveal how truly wickedly evil this is. We have Gay Pride Month, and it's not just about gay. Gay is now passé. You have to be transgender. In Washington State, they had people riding around on, you know, men with their the organs that they hadn't had cut off yet, riding around on bicycles in front of kids in the name of pride. I'm proud that I'm some kind of a pervert. And that's exactly what this is. It's about grooming kids. It's about killing kids. Randy pointed out, you guys pointed out, it's about the child sex trafficking. It's about literally taking everything that the Bible says don't do and saying, no, not only are you going to do it, we're going to teach it to your kids. We're going to mandate it. We're going to make you pay for it. And if you don't like it, we're going to kill you. Go ahead, Randy.
And the parents that would take their children to participate and watch in such perversion, I'm at a loss for words. Those parents have no right to have those children. It's just, I'm at a loss for words. I'm not supposed to curse. Anyway.
I find that of late it's almost impossible really to describe the level of evil without resorting to either superlatives or to curse words, because the normal words, as you're pointing out, they fail. They fail to describe the depth of true evil here. And I honestly think, Randy, that's what they have going for them. They have a level of evil that is so intense, it's so Hitlerian. That's precisely what Adolf was talking about with the big lie. It's so over the top that people just say, oh, I can't believe they would even remotely do anything so horrible. It's inconceivable to a person who isn't that evil that they could possibly do what they are in fact doing.
Well, let's see. The Lord told us all of this would take place, that evil men would wax worse and worse and worse. And we see it happening before our very eyes. And it's up to the watchman on the wall to blow the trumpet. He never said the people would take note of what's going on. He just said, blow the trumpet. Those that will hear, and those that won't, won't. So that's the job of everyone that claims the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, to stand. We're all watchmen. We have to stand.
You got any other stories you want to throw out, David? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. Okay. This is an important distinction, okay? It's not true because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because it's true. Truth is self-evident, as the Founding Fathers pointed out, and thank God we got Scripture to lead us into truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. The Word is truth, right? On January 6th, 2020, we've got 2021, we've got the January 6th committee. We had a bunch of people infiltrate into that crowd and lead the crowd in what has now been labeled as an insurrection. I'm going somewhere with this. What we've got is we've got a bunch of people in this country leading people down this road of total depravity. And if they can get the American people to follow them, then what we could argue is that the entire nation of America is in a state of insurrection against the truth and against our Father in heaven. Is that too much of a leap to make? We've got a bunch of non-leaders, a bunch of posers, a bunch of infiltrators who have infiltrated into the core of what America is. And they're telling us what a narrative is, and that if we don't buy into their narrative, that we are somehow crazy terrorists, all right? But essentially what's happening is if we follow this idea, we're walking into our own demise, because we are adopting a state of rebellion with them, and we are in a state of insurrection against the truth. The truth is what will set us free. The Supreme Court's not going to set us free. I thank God that the Supreme Court has a couple of justices on it that understand the rule of law and law and order, and And they have a vision to return us back to restore some of the principles of good government on Earth. Right now, though, the way it's been going is that we've been in rebellion because we've been in lockstep with a people that have led America astray through the academia, through the church institutions, through the banking system. I mean, there's not one area of our lives that hasn't been corrupted. So this is why it's so uncomfortable for those of us that wake up first, because we get gaslighted because we're not going along with the mainstream narrative. But that mainstream narrative is in rebellion. And like January 6th, if we follow that rebellion into the Capitol, into the spiritual capital of the kingdom of heaven, then we're actually walking in a state of insurrection. And you know what? This nation, because there is no afterlife for nations, there's no heaven or hell, there's no judgment after a nation falls. The fall of a nation is itself the judgment, and that's what we're facing if we don't get this thing turned around, Mark.
You know, I really can't argue with that. I guess the good news here, guys, is that this is Independence Day weekend. This is the weekend when some of us will encourage people, pull out a copy of that document and read it and understand that what we are seeing today is absolutely in every way, shape, and form the literal antithesis, both of Scripture, upon which the document was based, and of what we're supposed to be doing. If the Bible says don't do it, the Biden regime is saying we will do it, we'll force you to do it. If you don't like it, we'll kill you. If the Constitution says something isn't to be done, same thing, they've been doing it. And the reason is because everything that has been done is so antithetical to the principles, to the procedures, to the processes, to the entire concept of what we were supposed to be, that most Americans, they're clueless as to how far we've come down the toilet. Go ahead, Randy. Take us out. About a minute.
Come out of her. We are told to come out of her. Four places in the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Revelation, to come out of Babylon, to withdraw our consent, to take that Declaration of Independence.
Thing.
To take that Declaration of Independence and make your own Declaration of Independence and say, and come out, withdraw consent. They do this. What they're doing is taking they're claiming the consent of the people to do what they're doing. And the mainstream prostitutes back that up and say, oh, look, this poll said this many, 68% of the people bow down to the sodomites in their parades and blah, 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 blah.
One other thing that's so important here to remember is then they make people believe that, yeah, this is what you want, and most Americans love things that the Bible calls abomination. Then the satanic forces are justified in saying, hey, America not only asked for it, they deserve it. They're literally walking open-eyed, fully aware, right into the judgment of hell that they so richly deserve. And especially when you consider what that means in terms of World War III, people ought to be really paying attention.
Hey, thanks, guys. Shabbat shalom, folks, and happy Independence Day.